Hello and welcome to the Tabitha Stories podcast. We have been enjoying some lovely weather in California this weekend. The sun has been shining, the temperatures have been warm and pleasant, and the forecast for the week promises more of the same. The weather is expected to stay mild and sunny, with temperatures around 70 degrees Fahrenheit. The air quality is expected to be excellent, perfect for outdoor activities like walking or running. Please note that the weather conditions can change, and this podcast will not be updated to reflect any changes after its release. Please refer to the latest weather reports for most accurate and up-to-date information. Now, let's get into today's episode. In today's episode, I will be sharing my review on Chapter 4 of 100 Years of Solitude. But before we explore Chapter 4, I will talk a little bit about, I will do a recap of Chapters 1, 2, and 3. I will be sharing this episode as segments. I will try my best to be concise and to be as clear as possible with the information that I'm sharing, as English is my second language, and I'm not going to be using much of the notes that I wrote to speak, because that's what I do sometimes. I follow the notes to help me communicate better. This time, I will just use them to guide me through the podcast. So I think there are going to be some awkward sounds where I'm thinking, and that is just me trying to think of what my next word in English is going to be. Now, let's get into today's episode. So, let's do a recap of chapters 1 to 3 of Gabriel Garcia Marquez's literary masterpiece, 100 Years of Solitude. In Chapter 1, we are introduced to the strikingly similar town of Macondo, which initially lacks names for everything. Echoing the Garden of Eden, this chapter showcases the boundless potential of Macondo and its teeming possibilities. In the second chapter, we are introduced to Macondo's tragic founding, where we know the story of the main characters, in which they flee their old home to escape murder and judgment. In their old hometown, the dead would often return and interact with the living, which is important to know, as in Macondo, there is nobody who has passed away yet. This makes us think, what is it going to happen in the future when the first person passes away? We're also introduced to the gypsies, including Melquiades, who plays a significant role in the town's industrial growth. Melquiades is the only one that agrees with José Arcadio Buendía about the way he thinks. And I think we should try to keep this in mind, because there is one question I would like to ask, and that is Melquiades God? That would be my question. Is he God? Because he knows a lot of things, and he happens to agree with José Arcadio Buendía. And so that is one thing I would like to keep in mind as we continue to listen to the book and analyze what is happening. Now let's move to chapter 3 of the novel. There are several significant events that shape the narrative in this chapter. The Buendía family adopts Rebecca as their daughter, and she arrives with insomnia. This leads to a peculiar phenomenon where the family forgets the name of everything, prompting them to write the names of objects on them to help them remember their significance. In the midst of this extraordinary occurrence, Melquiades arrives and introduces the cure for insomnia, signaling his extended stay with the family. The narrative also introduces Mascote, a character sent by the government to bring order to the town. However, José Arcadio vehemently opposes any government influence, leading to a tense rivalry between the two men. That is the way how chapter 3 of 100 Years of Solitude ends. Those are some of the major events that have been happening in the town, which is the connection in chapter 1 to the Garden of Eden in the town of Macondo, the tragic story on its founding, the first plague that they experience, which is insomnia, in chapter 3, as their daughter Rebecca is bringing insomnia with her. Melquiades, who appears to be the person who rescues the town of Macondo from insomnia, who comes to stay with them. Now let's move on to chapter 4. Let's start with the conclusion of chapter 4. And from there, I am going to work my way backwards in the book. Chapter 4 conveys the notion that solitude can be enforced by external forces based on our actions and the losses we encounter. In the previous chapter, we revealed that Arcadio killed Prudencio Aguilar. He is the dead that comes to interact with the livings, and he is the reason why they left the town of Macondo. We also know that until that point in the story, no one in the isolated town of Macondo had passed away. However, Melquiades, who we thought was dead, passes away around the end of chapter 4. His death, however, marked a turning point as Prudencio Aguilar, the man Arcadio had killed, appeared in Macondo in search of him. Through Prudencio's character, Marquez beautifully captures the yearning for life and the fear of the unknown in the afterlife. Prudencio had searched for Arcadio among the dead, inquiring from the deceased of Rio Hacha, the upper valley, and the swamp. Still, no one could provide him with information because Macondo was a place unknown to the dead until Melquiades arrives and marked it on the maps of the dead. This interaction between José Arcadio and Prudencio Aguilar led him to experience insomnia again. Previously, we know that the town experienced insomnia because their daughter Rebecca brought insomnia with her. This time, he experiences insomnia because he's interacting with the dead, and he also begins to realize that some things are happening. At first, we know that he has become restless after his interaction with him, and then he becomes paranoid, And it seems that he's losing his mind, because every day feels the same. So José Arcadio, he asked his son, "What day is today?" Aureliano responds, "It's Tuesday." However, José Arcadio realizes that it's still Monday, just like yesterday. So he examines the sky, the walls, and begonias to confirm his suspicion. And when he realizes that the days are not changing, he attempts to burn the house down, including the lab. And to prevent him from causing any harm, his son and another man tie him to a tree. Then later, his wife unties him from his feet, I believe, but they leave him in the tree. And that's where they build a house for José Arcadio. Now let's dive a little bit into the topic of solitude. I mentioned that the theme of solitude. I mentioned that the notion of solitude can be enforced by external forces based on our actions and the losses we encounter. Well, I think what happens to José Arcadio is a good example of that. I also would like to dive deeper into his realization that every day is Monday. So somehow this lets me know that if every day is Monday and everything is the same as the previous day, as Monday, then is the town of Macondo really that technologically advanced, as we are introduced in the first chapter? Is it really that technologically advanced? That is one question that I have to ask. Is it really that? Is it really thriving? Is it really that great of a town? Because if every day is like Monday, then that means that any progresses that happens is going to eventually be lost. Which is where Monday is significant in the book, as in Christianity, it symbolizes the day God created the earth. Monday symbolizing the day of creation. I would say that is my review for 100 years of solitude. And now I would just like to recap a few things that happened to make it easier for the next episode. So a few things that happened is Rebecca is going to get married. And her sister, Amaranta, loves the same guy that she loves. So what is it going to happen next? Another one is Arcadio, the son. He has not arrived to the town of Macondo yet. So I wonder, what is it going to happen in the story when he comes? And lastly, Aureliano. We know in this chapter that Aureliano has fallen in love, but she's way too young for him. She's 9 years old. She's a little girl. He likes her. There is an arranged marriage that is going to happen between him and this girl. And that makes me wonder. I mean, that just makes me think how traditional it is. You know, those were the times that we used to live back then in the past, where people would get married and have no say about it, which is what happened in this story. He's going to marry someone who has not a voice. And that is shocking and sad for me to hear, but that is the part of the story. And so I'm curious in regards to what is going to happen next. How is the relationship between Aureliano and Remedios going to develop? That is my question. Thank you for joining me for our third analytical discussion of 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. If you would like to follow along with me over the next few weeks, I highly recommend you check out the book. Should anyone be interested in joining the podcast to share their thoughts and insights, you're all welcome to reach out via email at avitostories@gmail.com. Your participation would be greatly appreciated. Once again, thank you for joining me. Please don't forget to subscribe, follow, and rate the podcast. Your support means a lot.